Okay, if not, then I'd like to go to my message to you. My scripture reading is in Galatians 3 and verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service this morning. Thank you so much for the blessed Sabbath that we have to rest, to come and assemble ourselves together and worship you and learn about your ways. And Heavenly Father, bless these words and thoughts that we will express and help them to help each of us as you would have. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. My text is a verse 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? A lot of people wants to go to the book of Galatians and seem to want to disprove a lot of things within God's Word. Galatians should speak for itself, along with the other books of the Bible. Galatians does not stand alone. Galatians stands with all of the other books of the Bible. It was one of the letters written by the Apostle Paul. It is said that Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul around AD 50 to 60, along in there. There's some disagreement among the scholars exactly when it was written. So we have that period of time that we feel like, based on the best judgment of the scholars, that Galatians was written. Galatians, the people of Galatia, was the people of what is now known today as Turkey. And we find, in looking in history, we find that the people of Galatia was the ancestors of the people who would become the Celtics, which means you and I, all of the English-speaking people, Canada, Australia, Great Britain, and all of its territories, our ancestors can be traced back to Galatia. In 278 B.C., there was a great migration of the European Gauls to Turkey. And we find that there are several words that are very similar, that are related words. Galatia, Celts, or the Celtic people, and Gauls. They all three are related. So we find then, and we know then, that not only the English-speaking people have ancestry traced back to Galatia, but also, and it was a large, fairly large number, large percentage of the English-speaking people had their ancestry traced back to Galatia, or the people occupying a particular area in Turkey. Also, the French people also have many people that can be traced back to there. This has been written about Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I would say you have to take this with a grain of salt. You have to take this as a modernistic, mainstream Christianity viewpoint. And as I've said before, take Galatians and all the comments from all of the scholars and put line upon line and precept upon precept to get the proper understanding of Galatians. This has been written by some of those mainstream Christianity scholars. Galatians is a stern, impassioned effort to save Christianity from becoming just a messianic sect of legalistic Judaism. Does that register with you? Galatians is a stern, impassioned effort to save Christianity from becoming just a messianic sect of legalistic Judaism. Are you under the law or under God's grace and mercy? We hear that a lot, don't we? It's everyday mainstream Christianity thinking and questions. Are you justified by faith or by the works of the law? If we are under God's grace and justified by faith, can we just forget the law and just live the best that we can, depending on God to always forgive and have a mercy? I would like to go now to Galatians 4 and verse 8. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Are these words saying that we are no longer to observe our Sabbaths to God? Is it saying that some kind of change has been made? Or is there another answer to this question? I would say that there's more answers to this. Galatians people were basically paganistic people. Paul went in and he established churches in Galatia, Christian churches, brought them to know about Jesus Christ. But their past had been just the opposite. And part of the Galatian people's past had to do with the paganistic practice of observing pagan gods, and at times and months and years and seasons having these paganistic rituals. Let's go to Galatians 2, 15 and 16. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. That's clear, isn't it? We have no problem with that. Never have, never will. We don't work ourselves into heaven. Our idea of perfection and accomplishing that, we know comes far short from the mark, from the goal. We're not justified by the works of the flesh, but we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Isn't that interesting? If you belong to Christ, you are of God's family. Just as the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's chosen people, heirs of Abraham, if you are Christ and your faith belongs in Him, then you are an heir, just as Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's worth repeating. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized unto Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Isn't that wonderful? We are all sons of God, children of God, within the family of God, within God's care and love and mercy, because we are His chosen people through faith in Jesus Christ. The law was our tutor. The knowledge of the law, the understanding of the law, is what brought us to the point to accept faith in Christ Jesus. I'd like to go to Galatians 3:21. Seems like some contrary thinking here, doesn't it? Seems like on the one hand it's saying that the law helped lead us to Christ so that we would have faith in accepting Him and then becoming the children of God. And then other scriptures seem to be saying the law is over. It's not important anymore. But is that what it's really saying? Not at all. Let's go to Galatians 3:21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? And Paul says, may it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. Let's go into this further to see whether there are contradictions. To see if what we read, if anything is confused. Let's go to Romans 3 and 31. Romans 3 and 31. And by the way, this is Paul writing this also. Is Paul going to contradict himself? I don't think so. Is it all going to be agreeable in the end? When you put line upon line and precept upon precept, are you going to get the proper understanding? Yes. But we need to do that in order to come at the proper understanding. And by the way, Paul wrote this, Romans, at a later point in his life than he wrote his letter to Galatians. It is said that the Galatians was the first, was the earliest of Paul's letters. Romans 3:31. Do we then nullify the law? Do we make void the law? Do we do away with the law? Through faith? Faith is important. It's what makes us, faith in Jesus Christ makes us the children of God. But does that then make void the law? And Paul says, may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. We put it in a firmer foundation than it has ever been before. I'd like for you to go now to chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin. That's the tutor that he said about in Galatians. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting. If the law had not said, you shall not covet. Does that sound like we're to forget the law because we now have faith in Jesus Christ? The law brought Paul to that point in his life that he accepted Jesus Christ. Is the law made null and void and of none effect and of no use to us? No. The Scriptures will tell you clearly when you examine all of the Scriptures. I'd like now to go to verse 12 of chapter 7 of Romans. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through, excuse me, I'm reading 13, verse 12. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Does that sound like Paul was belittling the law? Or wanted you to, or casting it down, or out, or away? Paul says, so then the law is holy. And the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Paul says that is how you learn what sin is. If you don't have the law, you don't know what sin is. If you do have the law, it points out what sin is. I'd like to go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. And starting at verse 14. And this is Peter's explanation of why we read the letters of Paul, including Galatians, and sometimes we find within those letters, we find some things hard to understand, difficult to reconcile, but not impossible by far. All it takes is wanting to know the truth, wanting to get to the bottom of the issue, wanting the firm foundation of truth. And 2 Peter, then 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Peter seemed to think that you need to know what sin is and clean up your life to where it says that it can be spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. Do you see? If you take even a few verses out of a few chapters and try to get the truth, you may not come to it. You have to do more study. You have to put line upon line and precept upon precept and go into books and chapters of the Bible to come at exactly what some of these letters and verses mean, especially by the Apostle Paul, as Peter points out here. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter found some of the letters that Paul had wrote to be hard to understand, hard to reconcile, just as we do. But yet, what did Paul say? The law is holy and just and good. Galatians 5 and 16. Let's see what that says. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We are to receive power from on high after we call upon God for the Holy Spirit to be given to us to help lead and guide us and remind us of the truth that is in His Word. We are to walk in the Spirit. 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, That sounds like don't commit adultery. Does it to you? That sounds like do not steal. Do not kill. Honor and respect God. Honor and respect your neighbor. The deeds of the flesh are evidence which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that sound to you like the law is being done away with? That you just live the best that you can day by day, call upon the Lord, and disregard His commandments that He gives to lead and guide us and to keep order in this world? It doesn't to me. In this same Galatians that Paul wrote, after explaining that we cannot be justified by keeping the law, but we can by faith in Jesus Christ. But yet, we will not inherit the kingdom of God if we practice, that is, if we adhere to all of these things that I've just read out of God's Word to you. We are to keep His law. In 5:19, excuse me, in 5:22, we have just the opposite. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That sounds like to me, this is what you are to do, and this is what you are not to do. It is the law. It is God's way of telling us, you won't inherit the kingdom of God if you do these things, but you will inherit the kingdom of God if you find within your heart a spirit of love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of them good Christian characteristics. If we find them dominant in our heart and life, then we will inherit the kingdom of God. I'd like to go to Galatians 5 and 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did not Jesus Christ confirm that was part of the keeping of the law of God? Love your neighbor. Respect him. Honor him. Do right by him. That's part of it. Of the law. The commandments of God. The royal law of God. Which will abide forever. Which is in effect in all of its points. Forever. It is God's commands for us to live by. Loving your neighbor is part of it. Loving God and honor and respecting Him by searching out the truth. Finding the foundation for your beliefs and your convictions. Even though Paul wrote things hard to understand, caring enough to not just take someone's word for what you believe, but searching it out for yourself in other books of the Bible if you're confused or find things hard to understand in one book, caring enough to take it further to another level, to get at the truth, and then having the truth, understand it, abide in it, pass it on to others. Help guide someone else into the family of God. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. And dropping down to verse 6. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you see that some things that you read within Paul's writings require a further examination of even Paul's words himself? And no doubt, Peter's, James's, Jesus Christ himself, putting line upon line and precept upon precept to get the proper understanding, the proper meaning. Yes, it takes it all. It takes caring enough to obtain the correct truth to go on to other verses, to other books and letters that were written. And when we do this, we can be assured that the book of God, the law, the Word of God is not contradictory. It agrees. Paul does not contradict Peter. Peter does not contradict Paul. They do not contradict Jesus Christ. It all agrees. It's a matter of studying and coming to that place where you know nothing contradicts. It's God's Word. If you would, stand with me in prayer.